Welcome back to The Deep Dive. Today, we're swapping out the usual stock market reports and geopolitical emphases for something. Well, something I think is arguably more fascinating.
I would have to agree.
We're looking at the detailed inner workings of a modern primary school. We've got our hands on a complete operational snapshot, all inside one document.
The actual primary school newsletter from October 24, 2025.
Exactly.
And, you know, for anyone who thinks the school newsletter is just a few dry announcements, think again. This document is dense. It's basically a blueprint of their whole strategy, their operational reality, and their cultural priorities, all as they head into admission season.
So our mission, for you listening, is to really pull out that core plan. What are they spending their time and money on? And then connect that back to the daily life of the school. We're looking for those surprising details hidden in the routine stuff.
And it's amazing how much is in here. You can literally map the school's entire culture from, you know, attendance figures right down to their newest staff member.
Who happens to be a dog?
A golden Labrador named Alfie, yes.
Okay, let's unpack that strategy first. Looking at the high-level goals for the year, what is Ashwell Primary actually pouring its resources into?
Well, they lay out three very specific main school development priorities.
Yeah.
And these really are the foundation for, well, for everything else. The first one, and they say this is the most important, is all about inclusion.
So that's the work around SEN, special educational needs and disabilities.
Precisely. They call it their main priority to further refine provision for learners with SEND. But the interesting part is the goal, promoting greater independence and self-motivation in those students.
So it's not just about support, it's about autonomy.
Exactly. A major trend we're seeing across the whole UK education system.
Okay, so that's priority one. What are the other two?
The second is very academic, to continue to raise the attainment of pupils in writing.
Which is always a tough one.
One of the most complex skills, for sure. And the third is more about internal capacity. They want to develop high-quality subject leadership skills across the school.
Making sure every subject, from history to art, has a real expert championing it.
That's it.
A really solid strategy, then. Inclusion, core skills, and staff development. And you can see them putting it into action straight away, can't you? With that main SEND priority.
Oh, absolutely. Well, this wasn't just theoretical. The source mentions that the teaching assistants had a virtual TA training day back in September.
And they were accessing sessions from Hertz for Learning. For anyone outside the home counties, what exactly is that?
It's a really important piece of context. Hertz for Learning is a major, a leading education services company.
So not just an in-house thing.
No, they're tapping into specialized external expertise to get practical strategies they can use in the classroom immediately. It shows a real investment.
And beyond the strategy, operationally, they seem to be, well, they're firing on all cylinders. The attendance figures alone are, I mean, they must be the envy of every school leader.
They're stellar. The whole school attendance is at 98.0%.
98%.
Yeah. And when you think the national average is usually hovering somewhere around 94, maybe 95%, 98 is exceptional.
It shows huge parental engagement.
Huge. And it's even slightly up on their own performance from last year.
And we have to give a shout out to year one.
Yes. Top performing class for the half term, 99.2%. Just incredible.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, on a more future-facing side of things, they're already deep in the next admission cycle.
The school touring season, as they call it, for the September 2026 intake.
All right, for nursery and reception. It starts right after the half-term break. And it's critical for them because the school is clearly in very high demand.
They're basically full.
Essentially, yes. The newsletter says they're full in all year groups except for year six.
And even there.
Just three spaces available. So you can see why every open day, every tour is just so crucial for those prospective parents.
Okay, so let's zoom in a bit. From the high-level strategy to what the students are actually doing day-to-day, this next section is all about that curriculum enrichment.
And you see a huge variety here. For example, October was Black History Month. The teachers planned activities across the entire curriculum, and they kicked it off with a school assembly.
And it wasn't just a presentation, was it?
No, it was designed specifically to gauge what the pupils already knew, to find their starting point before diving in. Very smart.
And the class trips sound incredible. They seem designed for, I don't know, maximum sensory impact. I'm looking at the year four trip.
Oh, the visit to the Zoological Education Center for their rainforest topic.
Oh, great.
And what makes this stand out is the approach. It's not just about seeing animals. They actually got to experience the humidity of a natural rainforest biome.
So they can feel what it's like.
Exactly. and see the layers, the emergent, canopy, understory, all the way down to the forest floor. You just can't get that from a textbook.
And of course, the kids love the animals. The newsletter lists the favorites, axolotl, capybaras.
Snakes and monkeys, yeah.
Yeah.
But they also learned about the different levels of extinction affecting those species.
So it connects that immediate local excitement with these big global concerns.
It does. Meanwhile, you've got the year six students getting to grips with, well, the foundations of Western civilization.
The ancient Greek workshop.
And it was completely hands-on. They were making clay pots, inking mosaics, carving symbols.
My favorite bit was the mixing of herbal potions.
Yes, to cure children with sudden unexplained illnesses.
A little bit of primary school improv.
Exactly. And then the whole afternoon was dedicated to drama learning and performing Greek tragedies and comedies. It reminds you of the sheer breadth of skills a primary school teacher needs today.
And the students aren't just passive learners, are they? They're really active citizens. You see that in the school council's work for Remembrance Sunday.
This is their student leadership in action. The year six reps, they name a few. Hector S., Phoebe C. They went to the war memorial to place 54 crosses.
And they're placing a wreath during the village service as well.
It's a formal, structured commitment to civic duty. Really impressive at that age.
And we absolutely have to mention the fundraising, Alfie and Avi. Their goal was to raise £100 for a brain cancer charity.
And they absolutely crushed it.
What was the final total?
A staggering 506.
Wow.
It really speaks volumes, doesn't it? About the school's ability to foster that kind of initiative and community spirit.
Okay, let's pivot to policy and well-being. This is clearly a huge priority for them.
It is. They're taking a very proactive, very formal approach to mental health. Mm-hmm. They're using the NHS's five ways to well-being, and this half term, they started with the theme of connect.
So they're building emotional welfare right into the school's structure.
Yes, moving beyond just dealing with issues as they pop up. But, you know, that focus on wellness has to exist alongside the day-to-day grind of school rules.
Ah, yes, the snack policy. The newsletter had a pretty stern reminder.
A huge increase in non-compliant snacks was the phrase. And this is a constant battle for schools.
So what were the rules they had to reiterate?
The fundamentals. Water only in bottles. Break time snacks have to be fruit or veg. But the really critical part, the non-negotiable bit, is the allergy policy.
Which is no nuts or sesame seeds at all.
Right. And they had to be explicit. No sweets, no chocolate bars in packed lunches. The tone of the reminder really suggests how difficult it is to balance what parents want with the absolute need for safety.
And now let's talk about the star of this deep dive, the newest staff member, Alfie.
Alfie the Golden Labrador, the new school dog.
And he's not just there as a cute mascot.
No, not at all. He's being introduced as a formal therapeutic resource. And this is a big shift we're seeing. I mean, dogs have been in UK schools for over 5 years now, but the idea is much more established in the US and Australia.
It sounds wonderful for the general atmosphere, but I have to ask the practical question. This is a primary school. What are the operational landmines here? What about liability or kids with phobias, allergies?
That's the essential question. And when a school does this properly, it requires incredibly robust planning. The way it's described in the newsletter suggests they've done that work. They'll have risk assessments, parental consent, clear schedules.
So he's not just wandering the halls.
No. He'll have designated safe spaces, and they'll have protocols for managing any children with diagnosed phobias or severe allergies, making sure he's only in controlled intervention groups.
So he's a highly managed therapeutic asset. And what does the research they cite say about the benefits? What does he actually do?
Well, they break it down into four areas. Cognitively, he helps with memory, problem solving, and it's been proven to help improve reading skills when kids read aloud to a dog.
That's fascinating.
Emotionally, he can improve self-esteem, lifts mood, teaches compassion, and is a huge relief for anxiety.
And then there's the physical and social side, I imagine.
Absolutely. Physically, just petting a dog can reduce blood pressure, provides tactile stimulation. And socially, well, he's a positive topic of conversation for kids who might struggle to connect.
Yeah.
He encourages responsibility.
And Alfie has a very specific job description.
He does. His role includes being a listening ear, providing reading support, joining small intervention groups, and of course, being a general morale booster, greeting the children at the gates.
So bringing this all together, the key takeaway for you, the listener, seems to be that this one newsletter gives you a complete framework for a modern primary school. You see the whole complex picture, from the high-level SEND strategy right down to the rules about snacks and the introduction of Alfie.
And if we connect that to the bigger picture, what this snapshot really shows is the comprehensive support structure schools are now expected to build. They're moving far beyond just academics. They're into formalized, holistic, mental and emotional welfare. They even list specific mental health resources available in Hertfordshire.
Things like the Just Talk webpage, the With Youth Digital Wellbeing Service.
Exactly, for kids as young as 5.
And that idea of formal support is perfectly captured in one last detail we noticed.
The Chill and Chat Lunchtime Club.
Right, which is supported by 10 newly recruited Year 6 well-being ambassadors, students like Ben, Callum, and Casey.
And this shows a strategic move to use trained student leadership for emotional care, which I think leaves us with a really interesting question for you to mull over. How might these formalized peer support programs run by 10 and 11-year-olds, how might they fundamentally change the culture of seeking help in a primary school, making it, you know, more accessible and maybe less intimidating for the younger children?